Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come together in these moments, encounter us where we need to be met. Help us, Lord God, to feel a sense of your calming presence or your enlivening presence, whatever it is that we need in these moments, Lord God, wherever we feel that we are not fully alive, help us to feel your presence and make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. Nothing in our human experience is as vital to our health and well-being as love. Feeling love and sharing love. Authors and poets never tire of writing about love, from poems simply titled Love by Emily Dickinson and Ralph Waldo Emerson, to the novel Love and Death by Lord Byron, to the Christian Manifesto by Rob Bell, Love Wins. Books and verses about love will endure. Likewise, songwriters never cease to pen melodies about love. The Beatles sang, "Love is all you need." Yet they also remind us that you can't buy me love. Jefferson Airplane knows that we need somebody to love. And Linda Ronstadt speaks for all who are lonely by asking, "When will I be loved?" Yet as the Supremes remind us, you can't hurry love. Pat Benatar cautions that love is a battlefield. The Righteous Brothers opine that you've lost that loving feeling, and the obviously heartbroken Jay Giles ruefully responds, "Love stinks." Still, I find great wisdom when Steve Winwood calls us to a higher love, and when Sting encourages, if you love someone, set them free. Because as the late great Tom Petty correctly observes, love is a long road. A higher love that sets people free but is a long road. Well, that is a pretty fitting way to describe Easter and what Easter life as disciples of Jesus is all about. Today, we hear a story of Jesus meeting some believers along a long road, the road to Emmaus. And now, the first thing that to say about this account is that Jesus showing up amidst the solemn journey of two heartsick followers, Cleopas and his friend, is both comforting and at times challenging. It's comforting because yet again, Scripture shows us that at the heart of the mission of Jesus Christ, at its heart, the defining characteristic of who this risen Jesus is a deep concern and abiding love for all who suffer or hurt or are in need. And I believe that this assures us that like the travelers on the road in our story, we might not recognize that Jesus is there. But this story tells us that that is who Jesus is. That during our solemn moments, our difficult days, and our gut-wrenching journeys, Jesus comes near out of love. This account from the Emmaus Road is comforting, yes, but it is also challenging. Because think about it. After all that Jesus had suffered, the beatings and the mocking, the pain of nails being driven into your body, the cruelty of the crucifixion, would anyone have blamed him if he had shown up not on this road with hurting disciples, but if it had shown up, you know, in the palace of Pilate, or in the temple, or in the court of Herod, and simply walked in and said, "Well, how you like me now?" Talk about the ultimate drop the mic moment. But instead of seeking to lord it over those who condemned him and put him to death, Jesus shows how he seeks to be lord over all things, modeling an alternative way to live, a way that is beyond retribution and revenge, the way of Christ's love. This new alternative way of loving others can be frustrating, especially when the inclination to get even with those who harm us or wound us or despise us is not always as far from our words and deeds as they could be. There is something to be learned here from Jesus about love, about how to love like Jesus. Jesus talks about love throughout the Scripture. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." He says, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." How do we follow Jesus then? Well, he says, and Scripture tells us, that we are called to love the way Jesus loves. But friends, loving like Jesus is not for the faint of heart. St. Paul shows us as much in how demanding and difficult it will be to love like Jesus, especially when we try to follow Jesus' command to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love our enemies. We heard the words earlier today. Love is patient and kind. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is never ending. And I don't know about you, but that is a pretty hard description to live up to. I'm not sure if I love like that in any of my relationships. But it is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to love as He has loved us. And so we are not off the hook. There's a meme that's going around. I saw it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, one of those. And it simply said this: "Jesus knew and Judas still ate." And Jesus knew what Judas would do, yet he still offered him a place and nourishment at his table. That, my friends, is what makes loving like Jesus such a challenge. Still, with Jesus, there is hope. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night in darkness because of fear of repercussion, Jesus says to him, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life." You see, it is out of love that Jesus enters the world. And it is through the power of God's love that we access through being the community of Christ, that we access through our prayers, that we access when we dare to trust this message of Jesus' new life promise, that we then are able to dare to live like Jesus. This is the higher love that he talks about. It is the higher love, friends, that then sets you free. You are free. You are free to live a life outside of the irritation of sin and the inevitability of death that is a part of all of our lives. You are free to live faithful lives, even amidst the inescapability of selfishness and the inexcusable actions that we often live out because of fear and anxiety. You are free because of Christ, brothers and sisters, to live a life of faithfulness, even amidst injustices that you perform and injustices that are performed upon you. You are free to live a life of faith. Because of the new life promise of Jesus, a free to live even amidst your impatience and your impoliteness, your implacability and your ineffectiveness, your imperfections and your desire for impressive importance. You are free to live amidst your sin and brokenness, lives of sainthood. And you can do this because you have done it. And you do it. And you will do it again. You will do this even though there are darknesses in your life and difficult valleys and unforeseen twists. But these darknesses, whether they're born from anxiety or fear, or the burden of loss, death and grief, whether they're born from unconscionable and despicable acts of terrorism or political division and uncertainty for our country. Maybe it's born from being the victim of injustice or bigotry or suffering from addiction or struggling with mental illness. Regardless of those darknesses, I'm here to tell you with apologies to Whitney Houston, the greatest love of all is the love of the risen Christ who shines in the darkness, and we have been promised that the darkness cannot overcome it. It is a love that enlightens the darkest moments of our lives and our doubting minds. It is a love that redeems our broken hearts and our broken lives. A love that resurrects our desperate faith and our dying spirit. It is a love that embraces us, it values us, forgives us, and sets us free so that we can be free to love like Jesus even when it's hard, but especially when it is. Several years ago, on Easter, we sang that traditional, ancient song by Todd Rundgren, Love is the Answer. I still love the bridge of that song and the words that we sang. And if you remember them, I invite you to say the refrain with me. He said, when you feel afraid, love one another. And when you've lost your way, love one another. And when you're all alone, love one another. And when you're far from home, love one another. And when you're down and out, love one another. And when your hope runs out, love one another. And when you need a friend, love one another. And when you're near the end, love one another. For the light of the world will shine on me and shine on us. Shine on us and set us free. Jesus says that love is the answer. Well, it is not the easy answer. But for those who seek to follow Jesus, it is the only answer. In Jesus' name, amen.